You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, Attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's Attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, here with you and David Karofsky from Transition Consulting Group. If you'd like to join us on the air, 508-871-7000, or you can always reach me at radio@totalcounselor.com. And of course, don't forget to like us on Facebook, Total Counsel Law Group. Now, David, you closed out the last segment. We were starting to get into a little bit of emotional intelligence 2.0.
Yep.
And you've got a great new blog on your website talking about the heat of the moment. Why don't we hit a little bit on that, if you could share with our listeners. It's a great blog posting. If listeners out there, why don't you check out David's website, www.fortcg.com. Go to the blogs, and you'll see a bunch of great blogs by David there. But this one, Heat of the Moment, why don't you talk to us?
So the Heat of the Moment, Emotional Intelligence 2.0 talks about the concept of understanding your own emotional intelligence and what that means. And so there's many components to emotional intelligence, but at the core of it is, how do you react to situations? How do you communicate in certain situations, and particularly in high-stress situations? And so the heat of the moment is, listen, we've all been in a situation where in the heat of the moment, we have said things or reacted to situations where we wish we could have taken it back. And what the blog really talks about is to think about in the heat of the moment, or when you're in an intense situation, or where you're having an intense conversation or having a conflict with somebody, don't necessarily react to the situation, but address the situation. Take a minute, step back. My father taught me when I was a little boy that the whole additive of counting to 10, it's a real thing. Believe it or not, it is a real thing. And to count to 10 before you fire off an email, before you fire off that text, or before you fire off at somebody else verbally, to really think about, what am I trying to say? What are they trying to say? Where are they coming from? So in the blog, it talks about a mother who's talking about entry criteria and the need for it in the business, and how her children react to her. And the bottom line is, to effectively communicate with somebody, you need to be able to hear where they're coming from, validate their feelings and what they're saying. Validation doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It just goes, Alan, I understand what you're saying. Here are my thoughts to it. Once somebody feels they've been heard, their temperature goes down, their ears open up, and they're able to hear you better. If they don't feel that they've been heard, they're not at all listening to what you're going to say. All they're doing is saying, that person isn't hearing me, and I need to say it louder, stronger, and they're not at all hearing what's being said by the other person. And so I think that in the circles of communication, validating one's feelings and validating and feeling like they've been heard is step one when having a difficult conversation. And the blog talks a little bit about that piece.
And that's where it comes to, I think, a lot of attorneys out there could do well from reading the blog and understanding that perspective.
Because
very often, it's all wrapped up together, is that how do we understand ourselves? How do we understand other people? And very often I have this one client where we work on a bunch of different business transactions with some acquiring other businesses, and we constantly have the conversation of, what lenses are we wearing? And can we see things from somebody else's lens?
Yep.
And really understand is that, okay, I see it from my side, but can I actually see it from the other side? One of the great exercises that I had done way back when I was teaching adjunct at Emmanuel College was a negotiation class. And it was very interesting because basically the exercise was, I would excuse half the room out of the class, and I gave them their fact pattern that they could read it, and then I would have a conversation with the other half and give them their fact pattern and what they would be willing to give up on and whatnot, and then swap out and then basically have them do a negotiation. And it was always very interesting. Some of the students just went in and their goal was just to get the deal done.
Yep.
And very often I said to them, the important part of the exercise is not about the negotiation itself and what the deal is that you got done, but understanding exactly what took place in the negotiation. How did you operate? How did you feel? And I had them keep journals so that before they sat down at the negotiation table, they would identify, how do I feel going into the negotiation? Mm-hmm. Then as soon as they were done with the negotiation, I would have them write down exactly how they feel. And then I would have the entire class in the room together and tell them both sides, so that they could see what both sides look like, and then said, okay, now write in the journal how you feel now that you know all the facts.
Right.
Now that the curtain's been pulled back, now how do you feel about it? And that's the interesting thing, is when people can actually understand, and very often we use the term perception, is what's your perception of the situation and do you really understand? And even more so, especially in family businesses, it comes up.
Yeah, it comes up. You use lenses. I often talk about wearing different hats. The CEO hat, the father, the mother hat, the son, the daughter, the cousin hat, whatever it might be. Sometimes you're wearing one hat, sometimes you're wearing multiple hats at the same time. But to understand the perception, the perspectives of the other individuals in the discussion is going to make you a far better communicator, and it's going to make you ultimately far more valuable in your family and in your business. Be able to take a rational, logical approach. One of the things we've learned is emotion trumps logic 100% of the time, and in business as well. And so when you're in negotiation, getting to that win-win, so to speak, that's an emotional discussion, not necessarily an intellectual discussion.
Absolutely. And when you say that, I always come back to when I get the call into the office for somebody's going through a divorce. And I always offer up, whether people like it or not, the advice that I always give when people are going through a divorce is just remember one thing. The more the emotion is heightened, the more it's going to cost you.
That's right.
No matter what. Because you've got parties involved, and that's where it comes back to the question of the attorney, is who are you working for? Whose side are you on in it? Because a lot of times you'll see with the attorneys is they'll go to the emotion, they'll rise that emotion, and then it's just more costly for everybody.
Right, right. And maybe the attorney wins in that situation. But at the end of the day, that's not what we're trying to do. From my perspective as the neutral, I have no dog in this fight. I have no skin in the game. My job is to get the family members to learn how to be able to effectively communicate with each other so that ultimately I consult myself out of a position. I can't be there all the time, and they're going to have issues when I'm not around, and they need to be able to learn the skills and the abilities to manage the family dynamics without someone like me in the room.
That's great. Now, how long these peer groups that you had mentioned in the last segment, how long typically will people stay with that particular peer group?
Well, it's a great question. When we started the peer groups, we had been running some other peer groups at a local university. And when we left that university, some people had joined us. My father and I have been with some of these members for north of 10 years, going on 12, 14 years. So we've been running them now for, since 2012, so 3.5 years, really. And almost all of the members are still with us. People come in and come out. It depends on what they see as valuable, obviously. But often we'll have people that will stay with us for, 5, 10 years. And it's not staying with us, it's staying with their peers. And the discussions you had 10 years ago are different than the discussions you have today. I have my own peer group that I'm a member of, and I've been there for 8 years with these guys. And obviously the things we're talking about today are different than they were 7, 8 years ago.
Great. And you're acting more as a facilitator.
Absolutely. That's correct. We are bringing some context and some content. We are setting the agendas and we're setting the structure. But I always joke, if I'm really doing my job well, I'm not talking a lot, that they are. They are running the meeting. I am simply there as a resource and a guide, so to speak.
Excellent. Now, if people wanted to join peer groups or start a new peer group or stuff,
yes,
what's the best way to do that?
So the best way to get in contact with me around the peer groups is you can go to the website, thepeeralliance.com. You can also call me, 508-875-7751, and that's for both Transition Consulting Group and the Peer Alliance, and would be happy to talk to you to see if you're a fit for a current group or interested in starting a new group. Would be happy to talk with you.
Great. And again, it's typically 8 people?
8 to 10. We use 8 to 10 in each group. We'll start it with as small as 5 or 6, and then we'll build the group over time. And right now I'm in the building phase of group number 4. So we're looking for about 3 or 4 more members into group 4. It started earlier this year. It's a great group of guys, and would love to have you join us.
And it's just family or?
Just family businesses. So these are members. We call it the current and emerging leaders. So these are either people that are in line to take over the business or have recently taken hold or leadership position in their family's business.
Okay. And if somebody wants to get involved within a peer group, not a family business, they could reach out to you and you can refer
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. There are many peer groups out there, and I'm more than happy to be a resource for them. Absolutely.
That is great. David, I want to thank you again for joining me on the air today. Again, if you want to reach out to David, www.fortcg.com, Transition Consulting Group. I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor. Next week, we've got Brian Rourke is going to be joining us on the air. Yes, I like to bring that English gentleman back on. Love to hear his accent first thing in the morning. And we will be taking calls again, always 508-871-7000 on the air here, or you can reach me in the office, 508-650-9900, radio@totalcounselor.com. And until next week, I continue to plan.